Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that's been airing now for 20 years here on WBT. It's been a great ride, a great fun experience. Thanks to Ruth Chris Stake and also Perry's Fine Jewelry for their support of the program. It means more than you'll ever know. Well, today's show is one that I look forward to every year. It's been an annual occasion now for I don't know how many years, but it is Mick Mixon and Jim Zocchi here on the Panthers' inaugural game at Panthers Stadium later today at 1 o'clock.
The cliche Panther growl.
Okay, we should put it in there for sure.
That was great.
The two announcers here on WBT Radio for the Panthers sports broadcast are with me today, and it's just fun to have you guys with me today. Mick, thank you for being here.
Thank you, DC. This is what I think we should do. Because you had a more interesting off season than the Zoke and I did. So I think we should devote the first segment, and Zoke will back me up on this, just skin it down, DC, tell us how you're doing, tell us what happened, and tell us what lessons we can all take away from what you went through over the off season.
Oh, my. Now, you guys are surprising me with this. I thought I was the interviewer of you two guys. You know, it is well with my soul. I'm doing fine. My wife and I are moving forward. You know, life throws you curveballs sometimes, and you're not expecting them. You are moving forward with what you think you're supposed to be doing, and suddenly, abruptly, things change. And that's what happened with us. We had to move from a place where we had been for 39 years to doing a startup, if you will, in the new church experience. It's been challenging. It's been difficult in some ways. It's also been exhilarating. We have been with people who want to be with us in a new experience, and so we've learned a lot about relationships and people who care for you and letting people care for us, because oftentimes when you're the caregiver, like Marilyn and I have been to so many people over the decades, we've cared for folks going through life crises and change. People have rushed around us to be that kind of person to us. And, you know, honestly, it's been different, but it's been exhilarating. And the friendships are rich and deep, and we see who people really are our friends when you go through a deep life trial. So what have we learned from it all? We've learned that life doesn't stop, and you've got a choice to either be a victim or a victor. You can complain about the difficulty and say, you know, I'm just going to give up. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to start all over again. And we chose the latter. We chose to take this experience and try to continue to move forward in life. So that's kind of where we are.
Well, David, thank you for joining us on the David Chadwick Show. Mick and I will be right back after these messages. No. Yeah, we're all friends, and we're so happy that you and Marilyn are in a great spot right now. We're exactly where you're supposed to be. So congratulations on your startup and all that's going on with that. And it's just good to see that you are doing well with that. And we're excited to be back and have a fun show with you today. I know you want to talk football more than anything else today. And we're getting ready to embark on a new season with this Panthers-Rams opener. So it's an exciting time right now.
Yeah. Can you guys believe another season is right here? I imagine it only seems like yesterday the last one stopped. But here we go again. Mick, what do you think?
I always say I have a talk with myself every year, D.C., and say I'm not going to talk about the passage of time anymore. I'm not going to say, God, can you believe it's almost Thanksgiving? Can you believe Halloween? Can you believe it's back to school? Can you believe Christmas? Because time passes at the same rate all the time. But why does it seem to us, especially as we get older, that it's accelerated, that it goes faster? So you're right. Here we are with another season. This season begins with great fanfare. The Panthers are younger, faster, quicker, and with a schedule, Zoke, I think that is manageable. When was the last time we had two in a row at home to start the season and then ended the season at home? That may not have happened before.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the schedule, too. First trip to London coming up in the first half of the season. And by the way, there's two West Coast trips, which are longer, and that they go out on a Friday for these games. It also hit all in the first half of the regular season. So three of the first seven games will be extended road trips for this team. So we'll get a real good feel right away. And as Mick said, 2 and 4 days to start the season on a Sunday and a Thursday at home with the Rams and the Buccaneers. So we're going to find out real quick when the season begins what we've got here. But, you know, to Mick's point, every new year brings new players, new way of doing defense with this 3-4 defensive scheme being the base instead of the 4-3, and there's a lot of excitement about the way they'll get after the quarterback this year. And as always, the topic is Cam Newton,
yeah,
health-wise and all that seems to be ready to roll. So it's going to be a fun year and hopefully a bounce-back year after what happened last year with 7-9.
On the Wizard of Oz, I think when Toto yanks the curtain down and the wizard says, pay no attention to the man behind the screen. I'm the great and powerful Oz. I feel a little bit like that in this preseason. I'm telling friends of mine, pay no attention to the preseason games where the Panthers couldn't get a first down and got creased in the run game and seemed like the passing game had just been invented. It's going to be a good season. But I sincerely feel that.
Well,
I think it's going to be a special year.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Here we go. And Mick, now 15 years in the broadcast booth. Zoke, 25 years for you mm-hmm. now in the broadcast booth. I mean, that's a lot of years. And you guys bring such stability to the listener who just love the Carolina Panthers. When we come back, here's what I want to ask you. First of all, about Cam's foot. Everybody's asking that. Secondly, the Andrew Luck situation. Everybody's talking about that as well. Get your insights and other things. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Yes, we're ready for a new Panthers season. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show with my guest Jim Zoki, Mick Mixon, the Carolina Panthers WBT broadcast team, indeed the Carolina Panthers voice throughout the region for the games that are starting today. Unbelievable. L.A. Rams, 1 o'clock, Panthers Stadium. A Super Bowl contender are the Rams, aren't they, Jim?
Well, they got there last year, so yeah, absolutely. And so they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl last year, and a lot of folks think they can learn from that experience and maybe win it all this year. So that, yeah, that's a tough draw and an interesting draw, Mick, in that, you know, there are very good teams, and then there are very good teams that do things a different way. And Sean McVay is an innovator, especially on offense. So he's had an entire offseason and sulking off that Super Bowl loss to come up with what they're going to throw out on week one. As they say, they're vanilla in the preseason. They don't show anything. Well, we're going to see a lot today from the Rams, and then overlooked because their offense is so exciting, is one of the top defenses, maybe probably one of the top 3-4 defenses in the entire NFL this year are the Rams. So it's going to be a real test for the Panthers in this one.
This is what the Rams do. For those who do not know, offensive and defensive player, one player on each team has a earpiece in his helmet. And so coaches in the booth up until 15 seconds left on the play clock can communicate via headset to that player. So in the Panthers' case, it'd be the quarterback. So Cam Newton can have a coach in his ear up until 15 seconds before he has to snap the ball, saying different things. Flip the coverage. They're in quarters. The tight end will be open on an end cut. I mean, this is – imagine if you could eavesdrop on this. But here's what the Rams do. The Rams mess around with you on that. They have a decided three tempo. They'll come up and go fast. So just as you're getting into your stances, boom, they'll snap the ball. So you got to be ready for that. That allows them to have that pre-snap intel from the coach to the quarterback communicated to his offense. They'll do a medium tempo. They'll snap it at about 15 seconds, right when it's getting ready to the communication will be cut off. And then they'll go. Then they'll slow play it. They'll snap it right at the last second to try to see what you're going to do. So it's unique. It's a handful. Sometimes they mess up themselves, but sometimes they put you in a bad way. So a lot of work has gone in to figuring out the tempo of the Rams offense this week.
Wow. It's going to be an interesting start of the season. I mean, two good teams. The question that so many are asking, Jim, let me come to you. Cam Newton's foot, ankle, how is it? I mean, there was a collective gasp throughout Panther Nation when he went down in that preseason game. Where is he, do you think?
You know, I think we dodged a bullet on that one. It looked a little bit worse at first when you see a player, you know, being taken to the tunnel in the first half of the game. But
and then walking in a boot afterwards.
Walking in a boot, but able to get ready for this game the way that you would expect that he would be. So, hey, it took his mind off his shoulder for a minute, right? Just that old joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, my shoulder doesn't hurt so bad now, but I'm thinking about my foot. But, it was luckily just a sprain and good to go. And I think, you know, when you begin the season like this, and he's 30 years old now, you know, put the load on some other guys. guys. You know, Christian McCaffrey, we've seen him do that the last couple of years. The development of Curtis Samuel. You know, Cam will run. There's no doubt about it. But he doesn't have to run the way he was when he first came into the league. So I expect that he will, and he'll run today when needed. But I think he's going to be, Mick, probably, you know, smarter, more judicious about going out of bounds, sliding, which he's gotten better at through the years, and not taking a lot of chances because it is a grind with 16 games, not just today on the line.
I agree with you, Zoak. Like we talked about on Panther Talk a couple of weeks ago, I got this idea, and I'm just one guy, but I've got this idea that Christian McCaffrey is not just really good, but he's once in every 20, 25 years good.
You think he's a generational
talent? Possibly a generational talent.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think defensive coordinators around the NFL know this. And so I think that the singular focus, not that they won't be worried about what Zoak said, Cam Newton's ability to run, because he can still do that, but they're going to do everything they can possibly do. If there's a football version of the box and one defense, like you know from being a basketball guy, D.C., I think Christian McCaffrey's going to draw a man and a half, two men on almost every play. So the Panthers then have to be creative enough, astute enough, smart enough to make defenses pay for doing that. The extra attention they'll pay to the 22. So what does that mean? Samuel, D.J. Moore, the other backs, the tights, creative play calling by Norv Turner. It'll be fascinating to see how it plays out. Mm.
Well, let me shift gears on you. One of the great stories over the last several weeks has been Andrew Luck. At 29 years of age, walked away from $21 million. His timing was not the greatest, I'm sure, for Colts fans. But nevertheless, he made that decision feeling his own body. Mm-hmm. Zoak, your feelings as you experience now, a couple of weeks later, this decision by Andrew Luck.
You know, first and foremost, it's his decision. You know, it's not up to Colts fans or fantasy football owners that drafted him, or the coaching staff, or anybody else, his parents. I mean, it's got to be his decision. He's been dealing with injuries for the last 4 years, and maybe where he is right now is not as severe as when he was coming off the shoulder surgery or a lacerated kidney, fractured ribs, the things he's gone through. He's dealing with a calf strain right now, so it's not the most severe of injuries now. But it's that cycle of 4 years. And the thing he talked about, and then Rob Gronkowski talked about it a week or so ago, too, about the end of his career, about the same age with injuries, was just the joy was gone. And you've got kids that are now beyond college age that are competitive athletes and had been competitive athletes. And I've seen it with parents of kids that were great high school kids who walked away from college scholarships because they hated their lives. They weren't enjoying it. And there's no amount of money or maybe even winning that could take away enough to make that joy not matter. And so when you wake up in the morning and you don't want to go to work even when all that money's on the line, you know, that's the decision he has to make. He could have came out his junior year and been the number one pick by the Panthers, by the way.
Right.
And stayed another year at Stanford, got his engineering degree from Stanford, was the number one pick, obviously, after that. This kid's multi-talented. As great of a football player as he is, he could be one of the world's great architects or, you know, whatever he wants to do in engineering. He's got other passions in life. He grew up in a football family. His dad, through his entire life, has been a player, coach, and administrator in pro sports with football. So he's probably just kind of a little bit burned out by it mentally. Along with the rehab stuff and all. The fact that the fans booed him after that game is awful to see that human nature-wise. But it was the decision he had to make, which makes it on its own the right decision for him.
Yeah. Mick, your thoughts?
Zoak said it all and said it very well. Sometimes in athletics you get someone that you think should just be totally consumed with it, but they have other things they want to do. Do you remember Chuck Knoll, the great coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers? A grinder, a worker. And you sort of think, okay, he's a lifer in the game, right? Well, he retires fairly early, and no one hears from him again. What does he do? He becomes one of the world's foremost horticulturalists. He grows roses, and that's his thing. That's his
and he
passion.
Loves to do that
and
now.
He does not look back. So I like the way Jim said it. Only this athlete knows what he wanted for his life. Only he knows how it feels to try to play without his fastball. For you to preach a sermon, if it hurt you to talk, if something was wrong with your voice and every syllable, every word caused you pain, I mean, you'd have to recalibrate it, wouldn't you? I mean, and the people in the stands who booed. Let's talk about that for a second. We all understand that every one of those doofuses, if they could meet Andrew Luck, if they could see him at the mall, if they could run into him at a Books a Million or a Starbucks, they would come right up to him. Oh, Andrew, oh, we love you. Oh, we loved it when you came out of Stanford. You're our favorite. Can I have a selfie? But I think they were unhappy with how they got the news, because they're in the stands at a preseason game. They see Andrew Luck. There he is down on the field. He's getting ready to run off the field. And now on their cell phones, they're getting hit with messages that he's retiring. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I think there's more to that story than just venom towards Andrew Luck, the man and the QB.
Well, you know, this isn't a unique situation in the era of sports. You know, I'm old enough to go back and remember Sandy Koufax at 29 years of age, had just come off, I think, a 29-7 or 27-9 season with a 1.7 ERA, and he walks away from the game. He says, my elbow hurts, my body hurts, I just don't want to spend the rest of my life doing this. He becomes a humanitarian, a person who gives his life to help other people. That's what he was called to do. But you've got others like Jim Brown, you've got Barry Sanders, I mean, others as well who have chosen to care for their bodies more than just pursue a game. Your thoughts, Mick?
Well, Sandy Koufax was Jewish, and he would not – he decided he wasn't going to pitch on Jewish holidays even when – even if the World Series, even if a scheduled start came. You remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah, so, you know, someone that steps into the breach and tries to stand for something, or at least even if it's a personal thing, just – you got to respect that.
Well, you go back to Eric Little in Chariots of Fire when he refuses to run his race in the Olympics and says, I won't do it because it's on the Sabbath, and I honor the Sabbath. That's part of my religious commitment. And you've got to admire people who say there's something bigger than sports. Jim, what do you think?
I wish Chick-fil-A were open on Sundays.
He's only got a one-liner, doesn't he, Mick?
I mean, you see what I have to deal with every time on there.
So, but that's also been successful for them and the right thing to do for them. So, the other thing, David and Mick, is, as you know, is that these guys are making unprecedented amounts of money. It's always going up, right? They could retire at 29 because you've made so many tens or maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. You are set for life if you're smart with your money. And so are your children, for that matter. So it's got to be a little less motivating to wake up. You know, you talk about Sandy Koufax in that era. They weren't paid so well. You probably had to work immediately if you left pitching for the Dodgers because you needed to support your wife and family and your kids and all that. Nowadays, you know, these guys are making so much money, these premium players like that, like Gronk, that they're, if they choose to, they can be set for life. I'm not saying they have to. They can do other things, and they do, but they can walk away from that kind of money on the table that you mentioned because they've made it already at the age of 29.
Well, you know, I was talking to an NFL player this week, in fact, and he was talking to me about the Andrew Luck situation, and he said, nobody knows what Mondays are like. When he said, you're in the weight room trying to lift a little bit, but most everybody else looks like a medic unit. It looks like an absolute train crash. I mean, guys are limping around. They're getting into the ice bath. They're just trying to make it through the next couple of days to get their bodies restored to the point where they can play yet another game that brings a train crash. Mm-hmm. And they're all saying to themselves, how long can I do this? And I guess there are people who say, I really don't want this pain anymore, and this pain hurts, and I'm looking forward to having something else happen in my
life.
That's
one thing you know, is that pain hurts.
Yeah, it does. And again, we don't understand that with these NFL guys at full speed crashing into one another and the pain that brings to their lives. We need to take another break. When we come back, here's the question. David Tepper, in an interview in this studio, said to me, I'm not as patient as the Rooneys. And he said, if I had one criticism of the Rooney family with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're too patient. I'm not that patient. What in the world do you think that might mean? I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety here on the first game of the Panthers starting in just a couple of hours, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can do the podcast from beginning to end with my dear friends Mick Mixon and Jim Zocchi. Great to have you guys in studio with me this annual occasion that we do as the Panthers start yet another season. Several months ago, I had the privilege of having David Tepper in studio with me and actually did an hour's interview with him. It was an absolutely fascinating program. One of the questions I asked him was, well, you were a big fan of the Rooneys in Pittsburgh. What did you learn from the Rooneys and what might you bring here to Charlotte? And his response was intriguing. He said, well, the only negative I would say about the Rooney family was I thought they were too impatient, which implies that he's not a very patient man. As we look at his ownership now with the Panthers, Mick, let me start with you. What do you think we can expect regarding his patience and his great desire to win?
This is a man that has accumulated such wealth that he does not need to worry about what the economy is doing. The economy needs to worry about what he's doing. Hmm. So he didn't get that way by being risk averse. So one of the things that's impressed me the most about his tenure here is that he's put not just dollars where his mouth was when he first took over. It's easy to say, yeah, we're going to bring soccer. We're going to build a bubble. We're going to expand a state-of-the-art practice facility. All those things are happening. But when he had the courage to bring Eric Reed to the Carolina Panthers, to act boldly, you know, D.C., you counsel your flock all the time that the straightest path is rarely, and the easiest path is rarely the best path. We were talking earlier about athletes that use their notoriety, their posture, to their traction to affect some social change. Tommy Smith, John Carlos, Muhammad Ali come to mind. Arthur Ashe comes to mind. There have been many, and it's courageous, and sometimes it's hard. But Eric Reed, the world didn't end when Eric Reed took a knee for his first national anthem as a Carolina Panther. We can all disagree about, have a long conversation about that, but the David Tepper thought, okay, let's do it. Let's bring this guy in to help the team, to help us win. I think that's amazing, and it just tells you in no small way what he's all about. He wants to bring absolute victory to the Carolinas, and he's not going to rest until that happens.
Any other thoughts, Zoke?
You know, there's lots of categories, but the two main ones are the product on the field, the winning and losing part of it, and then there's some of the stuff Mick alluded to that's off the field too. So as far as the not patient, I mean, how quickly did this team that practiced in the rain for 20-whatever years get a practice bubble that they're able to use now in air conditioning for hot days, that they're going to move the facilities, the practices, the office staff, this whole multi-use complex down to Rock Hill happening there. Pre- and post-game parties where it used to be the game would end and thanks, get out, is, you know, they want you to stick around afterwards and hang out for the fifth quarter up in the luxury suites and be there on Mint Street before the game. And these are all things that just kind of add to the experience of what Panthers football, you know, make it better for the fans, make it better for the players to help with winning by having better facilities, practice bubbles. You know, what's going to happen with training camp moving forward? Obviously, this could be in Rock Hill, but making some really, you know, seismic changes off the field. And then on the field, I think is probably what he's talking about more about patience, is that, you know, Pittsburgh's known for having coaches there for a long time. And they don't make changes there, as they first had Chuck Knoll, and then they had Bill Cowher, and now with Mike Tomlin, all long-tenured coaches there. He came in and, you know, learned and watched and talked with Ron Rivera and the coaching staff, Marty Herney, the GM. So he didn't jump in right away with any knee-jerk reactions to a 7-9 first season after being 6-2. So I think he does have some of that Pittsburgh patience when it comes to on the field, but no doubt about it, he wants to win. And they'll make smart moves to win in the future. But I think while he is going to be more proactive, I think he does it mindful of the fact that he's taking in information, learning what's going on here, not just coming in and bringing his own people and doing things the Pittsburgh way, you know, letting people that were doing things the way the previous regime finish out what they're doing to see if this might be the way to win.
Well, he's obviously a smart man, and he knows what he's doing, or he wouldn't have accumulated, like you said, Mick, the $10, $12 billion that he has in his bank account. And so I think he's going to bring a leader's role to us and try to win, because that's what he is called to do. Mick, let me ask you this. Who are the Panthers' leaders this year as you look at this team?
Besides the Zook and me, you're talking
besides
about
you
more.
And Zook, yeah.
We try to share that leadership responsibility among
others. It's going to be a long season, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Zook and I both believe Proverbs 27:17, just as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Are you quoting
Zook
the scripture
and I both
now,
believe
Mick?
That the
What's David going to do if you start quoting scripture?
We both believe that smart aleck sharpens smart aleck. So that's how we
That's one of the lost gospels that was found in a cave somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm just glad you're reading the Bible, Mick. That is encouraging for me.
It was edited out along with the Mick will inherit the earth.
Okay.
Some typos in there. But anyway, the bomb squatters, as you know, D.C., so Mike Pilardi, J.J. Jansen, Graham Gano, Joey Sly, those guys, you could have – I'm not saying they're unstumpable on the Bible and Scripture and their worldview and spirituality and all that, but they're pretty far down the road, and it's fun to talk to them. Who else does Zook on the team?
Well, you know, one of the biggest offseason addition was Gerald McCoy from Tampa Bay, and he's been very outward in his faith. And after practice, they'll have prayer and you know thanks after a practice, and he's been very vocal with that. And he's been a vocal leader on this team immediately. If you're talking about on the field and also faith wise, at training camp. Going on the other side of the fence to sign autographs instead of reaching over, carrying his teammates' helmets up the hill on a hot day, which is a rookie assignment that he's coming in. So he's got a servant's mentality.
So this is McCoy you're talking about.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy, wow. Who's doing all of that. So Gerald McCoy, who's just here on a one-year contract, by the way, six-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman, has come in with all that reputation and ability and is basically taking a servant's attitude in terms of how he treats his teammates and being outward with his faith.
Wow. So it looks like there are some real leaders and spiritual leaders that are on the team, and that understanding of faith being an important part of the Panthers is going to continue. Your perspective, Nick?
I think in every sports team that I've ever worked, whether it was minor league baseball, where there's certain faction on the team that's hooting and howling and come staying out all night, there's baseball chapel. There's another group that sees another way. High school football, college football, the NFL, of course, the NBA. I think it's very pervasive, and I would proffer that the stresses of their work environment probably cause them to think deep thoughts. Is there another – did that field goal hit the crossbar and bounce away on its own? Did the universe tug at it? Is this divinely inspired? Did I miss the kick? I mean, vexing questions that – they turn to learned people like you, D.C., to help decode.
Well, I don't know how to respond to those kind of questions except to say, you know, that God works all things together for good. That's all I know. And whether he actually caused it or he works through it is one of the questions of the universe that I'll most certainly ask God when I get to heaven. But you guys know the most often spoken word in heaven is going to be, oh. oh, as God explains why, and we sense what his purpose was in all things. I'm curious, Jim, let me come to you. The game today begins at 1 o'clock. What's your pregame routine? How much planning goes into what happens during that 3 hours from 1 to 4?
You know, it's something we kind of cycle through it every week. So we finish one and we're on to the next one. We had a little bit of extra time coming off the Thursday preseason game with Pittsburgh. So yeah, it's kind of just a cumulative every day, do a little bit more. I can't put how many hours on it, but it's something you kind of work on every day. And we have production elements. We have live elements with a three-hour pregame show. This will be Jake DeLum's first game joining us in the booth. We had Mike Tolbert in the preseason on radio with Kevin Donnelly. Mike did a terrific job for being a first-time analyst, and now it's going to be Jake DeLum for most of these games, and Jordan Gross doing six, and Jake doing 10 of the 16 regular season games. So looking forward to that. We know, without having done a game with Jake, what he's about. He's a great personality, great knowledge, fun guy to hang out with that's going to bring so much expertise to the booth. That's going to be great. So that'll be new this year, and that's just something where that chemistry – I sense, Mick, will be pretty immediate, but it takes a little bit of time just to do something new that you haven't done before. But I think it's going to be terrific, and folks are going to really enjoy listening to that.
I think so, Zook. I think it's going to be must-listen-to radio. Not that people wouldn't want to eavesdrop on our conversation anyway, but you add the iconic, and I'm just kidding about that. I mean, I'm heaping this all on Jake and Jordan. But when you put these iconic Panther Hall of Honor guys, and they're not only – see, it would be enough – to just put Jake DeLome in there, a cardboard cutout of Jake DeLome because he's so popular. He's got the pedigree. He knows the game. It would be enough just on his own resume. But, David, he is such a storyteller. He and Jordan Gross are so colorful. They're so funny. They're such good storytellers that I think it's just add water, shake it up, roll it out on WBT, and let's all have some fun listening to a Panther win today.
Well, we're going to have a blast listening to you guys for this season. We also have one more segment to go in this show, and I want to get your take on being a prophet. I want you to put on your Swami's cap, your turban, look into the future, and make a prediction regarding what you think the Panthers will do this season. Look at how far you think they'll go. I think SI, Sports Illustrated, just recently came out with a prediction of 7-9, or a repetition of last year. Is that where we're going to go? Or could the new additions to this team make us better than we've ever been before and maybe have even a close replication of several years ago, 16-2? How exciting that would be. That's the question when we come back. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Again, many thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry for their sponsorship of the show. It means so much to me. Mick Mixon, Jim Zocchi in studio with me. Probably one of my favorite shows I do all year long, looking at the Panthers season upcoming today at 1 o'clock, Panther Stadium, Panthers versus the LA Rams. Sports Illustrated said that we're going to be probably 7-9 this year, a replication of last year's season. Not terribly exciting for Panther fans to hear. But also, many others are saying, well, maybe they're going to be better with all of these new additions, and especially if Cam's foot and every other part of his body cooperates this year. Zoke, let me ask you first, put on your Swami's cap. Right. You've got your crystal ball in front of you. Right. You've gone through Panthers preseason training. Here we are a couple of hours away from kickoff. You're going to have to look ahead and see how the Panthers do. And your answer is?
I have no idea. I will go this direction with it. I gave up. We used to do this with Keith Larson every year. He wanted to know like a numerical number. I will give you, and I dropped doing that after a while with Keith, and he was receptive to that. I will say we're going to be better than 7-9. You know, whether that is 10, 11, 12, whatever it is, I do think it's a double-figure win season. And I say that because this team was 6-2 last year with a quarterback whose arm was just going down as the season went on and, of course, had to get shut down. Dealing with the Greg Olsen injury and all that again. So we don't know all the injuries. So it's kind of hard to sit here and go through 16 matchups and say this week, that week, and this guy's going to be hurt. And it's just hard to know for 4 months who's going to be healthy and who's going to play and what other teams are going to be better than they were last year and which are going to be worse. But I do think what the Panthers have done is addressed, as you look at personnel, all the needs they had. They wanted to go to this 3-4 defense, and they've thrown at it Brian Burns, the first-round pick, Gerald McCoy, Bruce Irvin. You bring back Mario Addison. I think it'll be interesting to see how Christian Miller does, who's a rookie pick this year out of Alabama, too. Shored up things in the secondary when they thought they had a needed safety by bringing Trey Boston back and re-signing Eric Reed.
And then Ross Cockrell is healthy.
Ross
this
Cockrell
year.
Is healthy, and they really like him, yeah, as part of that mix in the defensive secondary.
I know him because he played basketball with my son in high school.
Okay, Charlotte Latin. Charlotte Latin High School, and then on to Duke from there. And then quickly on the offense, you know, they patched holes on the offensive line with putting Matt Paradis in, replacing Ryan Khalil coming aboard from Denver, and another year older from McCaffrey, Samuel, and DJ Moore to go with Cam. So I think when you look at all that reasonably and go, this team was 6-2 at the turn last year, how could I not predict that they're going to be better than 7-9, which they were last year? So I do think, you know, something in the double-figure category, which puts you in the playoffs, I think. So I think they're of that caliber.
Okay. Mick, what about you? Got your Swami hat on. You got your crystal ball was before you. How do you think the Panthers will do this year?
Well, first of all, DC, I think to me, putting a numerical prediction on an NFL team's season makes about as much sense as a publication continuing to produce a sexist and degrading to women swimsuit issue every year in 2019. It just makes no sense. Too many moving parts. NFL teams are so even that every team has six or eight guys that would start for your team. And the reverse is also true. And the games are short. An NFL game, it's a running clock a lot of the time, shorter than a college game. Ball bounces crazy. You get behind, it's hard to come back. So that's what I think. But I think that SI doesn't know, and the national writers, they don't know what we know. They don't know what Jim just said. And Jim did a great job of going through all the pieces. They don't know how much it means to Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, Luke Kuechly and others, that how thirsty we are to take it deep yet again. The coaching staff the same way. They don't know how smart Norv Turner is, I don't think, and how the mad scientist, the professorial ability he's got to scheme. And it was working last year before Cam Newton's shoulder got hurt. So I'm going with Jim. Double-digit wins. And like I always say, that Alexander Graham Bell, they laughed at him right over the telephone. So sometimes you just got to show them.
I look forward to the season. It's going to be fun to see. And Zoke, London, what an amazing opportunity that's going to be. You looking forward to that experience?
Yeah, I am. We're one of the very last teams to make this trip. The previous regime was resistant to doing it, and it's not easy travel-wise to do it. I know for coaches, they would always take home at 1 o'clock. It would be the perfect schedule for any football coach. So it does add a layer of difficulty. But, everyone's doing it. It's part of expanding the reach of the NFL, so you have to take one for the league when your turn comes up. But beyond that, and the fact that they're doing it, it's a difficult road trip. I think it's exciting, Mick. I think it's going to be fun to do it. Experience it because we haven't done it. I probably wouldn't go to London in any other circumstances, so provides us a chance to go see a part of the world that we've never seen before. And I think for the Panthers, it'll be a great experience. I think it'll be fun.
And you've taken one of your home games off the schedule. It's a road game and a divisional game. So this is not Club Med. This isn't go over there and get a massage and then have a drink out of a hollowed out piece of fruit or have tea and crumpets or whatever you do over there. This is a business trip, and I think the Panthers will view it as such.
Do you get to take your beloveds with you? Do Dawn and Sandra get to go with you?
We do. I mean, out of our own pockets. So you figure it out. So it's not like it was any special package or anything like that. But, both wives are going, so that'll be fun to have them along, too. But as Mick said, we're working. We're working, right?
Right.
I mean, we might have one tea and one crumpet.
Yeah, it's stressful. I love my bride more than any man can love his wife.
Yeah, many of us are really trying to figure that marriage out still to this day. How did you out-punt your coverage there on that one, buddy?
I know, they met Dawn and they said to me, son, I like a man who doesn't know his own limitations. And I get that. But we'll have fun with Sandra and Jim, but it is kind of, it's stressful. It adds a layer because I'm a hotel room. I like just staying close to the hotel, working on the names and numbers. So the idea of we're going to get out and get on a double-decker bus or something while this homework assignment looms. So I'll try not to wreck it for everyone else.
One of the best shows we've had this year was Sandra Adams, the Ray Carruth story that Scott Fowler unfolded with the Charlotte Observer. Mm-hmm. And she was in studio and shared her ability to forgive Ray Carruth and what he did to her daughter. She's going to go on that trip to London. Dave Tepper's paying her way, and she's going to be able to go with Chancellor to go watch the game. And I just think that's an evidence of the kind of classy guy that Dave Tepper must be.
It really is. I mean, just, again, not only forward thinking, but outreach thinking in terms of others and school backpack programs, all these things that they've done. I mean, there have been things in the past. I'm not saying this is all new, that the Panthers are community-minded. They always have been. But it really seems to be something that continues to go next level with what we're doing here now.
Yeah, Mick, we don't have much time left in the program, but one thing you're looking forward to this season more than anything else?
Just seeing how it all plays out, seeing how the second season of David Tepper's ownership, seeing how this football team can come together as not just a collection of players, but with the proverbial one heartbeat. And then I'm just going to be selfish and say that I'm so excited. I feel like a kid with new toys around me to have, not only with the Zoke, I cherish our friendship, but to have Jordan Gross and Jake DeLome join us in the booth. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, a new broadcast season with some new additions should be fun. Jim, what are you looking forward to most this year?
Everything Mick just named, and like all of us in this room, I love sport, Yeah, but I really love the NFL. I mean, to me, it's always been a passion. So just it's a blessing to be a part of it, along for the ride. And we don't control the outcome. We control a big part of the broadcast, not even all of that. So whether they go 7-9 or if they go 15-1, you know, we'll be along for that ride. And just, you know, enjoy what it is, the entertainment. It's serious. It matters if you win or lose. But also enjoy the ride. Just enjoy the season. Whatever it brings, we'll take the best out of it.
Well, you guys are the best, and I appreciate your friendship, appreciate this time every year you give to me, and it's just such a joy to have you be with me.
Appreciate you, DC. Thank you.
How can we be the best when you're the best?
Oh, well, it's always a pleasure.
You are. You are.
Everyone, do this for me. Beyond all the else that you do, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's so many hurts in this world. Just find somebody to go love today. And if you do so, this world will be a better place in which to live. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. I look forward to talking with you all next week.
I'm enrolling in Medicare soon, and it had me a little confused. Then I found MyHealthPolicy.com. With MyHealthPolicy.com, I could go online and compare Medicare Advantage plans from some top-rated national insurers, including $0 monthly premium plans. I could learn about plans in my area and talk with a licensed insurance agent if needed. MyHealthPolicy.com has made doing my research a whole lot easier.
My choice. My Medicare. MyHealthPolicy.com.
New to Medicare? Start now. Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to learn about some of the top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including plans for $0 a month in plan premiums, low out-of-pocket costs, and expansive provider networks. If you're thinking about a Medicare Advantage plan, MyHealthPolicy.com is a great place to go to find a plan that meets your needs. Learn more about your options. Even talk with a licensed insurance agent. MyHealthPolicy.com.